greet you all this morning in the name of Jesus, the Savior, one who came to save us from our sins. It's good to be here again, and welcome each one of you. Didn't realize that Brother Stephen was going to be here with us, so was glad to see him and his family here. And just maybe a little bit of background before we go into the message. In October, you remember that my wife and I and the family went to Tyrone to have a weekend meetings there. And I already preached the first message that I preached there here, that was reserving your life for kingdom service. And so I decided to preach the last one that I preached. That was the first one that I preached, and now I'm going to preach the last one. And later on, I almost think it was the same month that Papa Sim preached here, The Journey of a Servant. And if you remember, if you have a very good memory, you would remember some of the points that he made. I'm going to repeat him today. Maybe some of you have realized that already, that sometimes as preachers, we kind of say the same things over and over, maybe in a little different way. And I think that is okay, because if you're like me, we forget. I forget easily. That's why I like to put them on paper as much as I can. But the message I have this morning, like I told you, we preach at Tyrone, that the theme was in this world but not of this world. In other words, we are part of a different kingdom. Some of those thoughts Brother Ernest was sharing last weekend with us is the big paradox. The kingdom of heaven is here, but yet it is to come. So the part of it that we need to focus, we want to focus this morning, is that the part that the kingdom of God is here. And we need to be busy on that. If you remember that message I preach about reserving your life, it's never too late to reserve your life for kingdom service. It was focused more for the young people. And now the title for this message this morning, excuse me, kingdom service to the end of our lives. Kingdom service to the end of our lives is the title that they had assigned to me. I decided just to let it the same. Might come out a little different than it came out over there, but that's fine. And this was more geared for older people. Well, if you know me by now, I personally like to include everybody in the sermons. I think it is something for all of us to learn. And this is for young people. Because the truth of the matter is that we don't know when our last day is. If we want to be faithful in service to the end of our lives, well, we don't know when the end of our lives is. We think of older people being closer to death, and maybe so, but maybe not. So anyway, before we get into the message, I'm going to ask the children to help me out. I'm not going to ask you what this is, because you all are smart enough to know what this is, right? This is a hammer. All right. You know what the hammer is used for. We can dig holes with it. We can pound nails. We can take this pulpit apart with it. We can fix the roof with it. We can do a lot of things with this thing. But can you help me describe this hammer? Can you help me describe it? What words will you use? What adjectives will you use to describe this hammer? I got two descriptions I want to emphasize about this hammer and see if we can get it. Somebody, describe this thing to me. Let's imagine I'm a blind man. What do you see? Tell me. What does it look like? Is a hammer. We know a hammer is a noun, right? How would you describe it, Vince? Metal. Very good. And with metal is what?
Hard.
Thank you. It's a very hard thing. That thing, if you bump it against your teeth, you'll find out who's stronger. What else? Blake. Heavy. Yeah, it is pretty heavy. It gets, whew, if you swing that hammer all day long, it start get on your wrist. What else? Good adjective.
Solid
and lifeless. Lifeless means no life in it. If I set it down, it won't move, right? Even though I ask what happened to my hammer. Well, it was there wherever I left it. What else? Is it a brand new hammer? New hammer. No, it's an old hammer. Maybe some of you, that's the adjective I want to focus on. This hammer is at least 13 years old. Okay? 13 years old, this hammer. Bought it brand new. And now it's old. It's been used a lot. So that's one of the adjectives I want to focus on about this hammer. It's a very old hammer. But you know what? The shape of it hasn't changed a whole lot. It's a little bit twisted because somebody was abusing it to do something it wasn't supposed to be doing with it. So it's a little curve on it, but it is old. The shape of it is pretty much the same. And the other adjective, you're probably not going to guess it, but you know what? This hammer has been with me for 13 years now. And I'm going to call it that is my old faithful hammer. That hammer has been with me through trials, through rain, through darkness, through sunshine, through snow. One time we had snow while we were working, and that guy has been with me all that time. He's still with me today, and he came to church with me today. So he's the old faithful one. So the two adjectives I want you to remember about this hammer is that it's old, but it's faithful. It's still doing its job. So remember that, children. God wants for the children, or for all of us, God wants us to be instruments in his hands that he can use. Are we faithful to him? Or we say, well, I'm too old for that. That hammer doesn't say that. So let's go into the message. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Remember the title, Kingdom Service to the End of Our Lives. In Luke chapter 2, you're going to recognize this story right away because we are very near to Christmas. And this story is probably has been read already, and it probably will be read before the year is over. And that is great. I'm not going to read the whole story, but I would like to look at the verse. And you kind of know the story, but you know what happened. Somebody, a baby boy, had been born. And I love verse 11. If I open my Bible, Luke chapter 2, I want to look at verse 11. He says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I wasn't planning to read that verse, but I had to. Go with me, verse 30, in the 30s here. Let's see, where can we start? Joseph and Mary, they came to the temple to present him. And I think he says, verse 22, to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male, I'm reading verse 23, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So there they came. And there was, the Bible here in this passage doesn't say that Simeon was a very old man. It just said that he was, verse 25, he was a just and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's anointed. And there he was, and I assuming that this man was an old man. But there he was, a just and devout man. We could preach a message on Simeon, but that's not my message this morning. I want to go verse 36. There they were, and here comes an old lady. I mean, this lady was old. Notice what it says, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, as far as I know, this is all we know about Anna. We know what family she came from. We know her father's name. We know of which tribe she was. But there's a couple of things I would like to learn about her. And the first thing I noticed is that she was very old. Now, some people suggest that she was 84 years old. In my Spanish Bible, it says that she was a widow since 84 years. So I'm going to take to believe, it doesn't matter. I'm going to take to believe that she was 84 years, that she was a widow. She had lived 7 years with her husband. So that was 91 years old, plus how old she was whenever she got married. Sometime in those days they got married, especially the girls got married very, very young. So I'm safe. I'm going to assume that she was well over 100 years old. Like I said, some people say, oh, okay, it was 84 years old. And she was a widow, and it doesn't matter. But she was very old. Now, the first point I would like to learn from her, remember, we tried to learn about kingdom service to the end of our lives. And in my own words, in children's vocabulary, we want to learn how to be old and faithful, like the hammer. That's easy for me to understand. The first thing we want to learn from Anna is that she had overcome difficulties in life. And here's what Papa Sim's message of the journey of the servant, I remember he mentioned that in Daryl's devotions or trials. That's amazing that trees can grow so fast in a windless environment but will fall over. That's a beautiful illustration of what we're looking at. This lady, she was a widow for about 84 years. I believe that Grandma Yoder, was it this last week that it was an anniversary since Grandpa passed away? And my wife told me that Grandma Yoder told Papa Sim that was the hardest 13 years of her life. The hardest or toughest 13 years of her life. This lady was 84 years since she was a widow. Loss of her husband. And possibly childless. Bible doesn't say, but I'm going to assume, again, that she might have been childless. And you know the verses in the Old Testament, different ladies that reproach and the hard thing it was for a Jewish lady to be childless. I mean, it still is. But these people, I mean, if you think about some of what they said, we think about Rachel when she conceived and bare a son and said, God had taken away my reproach. We think of Elizabeth in Luke 1:25. It says, thus had the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach. We think of Hannah, many, many hundreds of years prior to this Anna. He said that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Why? Because she didn't have a child. So possibly Anna was childless. A lot of upheaval that she has seen in her life. Listen to some of the things that she had faced through her life. She had, through secular history, we learned this, that she has seen the rise and fall of 6 Judean rulers. He says, until Pompey, a Roman general, I don't know if I'm pronouncing Pompey right, but that's what I call him, conquered Judea in behalf of the Roman Empire. And I must remember, had to remember, when Pompey entered Jerusalem and found the temple being used as a military fortress. Apparently the temple that they had, it was constructed in a very massive way. He said it took him 3 months to break through the temple walls with battering rams. Once inside, he slaughtered the officiating priest and 12,000 other Jews. And I remember with horror how Pompey profaned the Holy of Holies by entering it to satisfy his curiosity. Her worship would also have been periodically disturbed when Herod the Great began the extensive work of remodeling the entire temple. She had to remember when there was a Janaeus, he was officiating in the temple as priest king, and he wanted to show his contempt or his anger for the Pharisees. So he poured out libation at his feet instead of the altar as he prescribed. And he said that the people had citrons. They carried citrons for some kind of feast that they had, so they threw the citrons at this man and pelted him. It was a big protest or disturbance there. So soldiers were called, and before order was restored, 6,000 people had been killed. So she had lived through this, a lot of difficulties in her life. Difficulties in life can be a tremendous blow to us. But like Brother Darrell mentioned, these things come. And we must believe in the goodness of God to say this, but these things come to make us better and stronger. Not bitter. There's many verses we can think of, but I like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side." I just love these verses. I have shared them with you a couple times already. "Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." I believe if we want to be old and faithful in the service of the King, one of the keys that we have to get a hold of is to accept, maybe not necessarily understand, but at least to accept the sovereignty of God, and that we work through the difficulties in life. Work through them. Don't cover them up. Many people try to cover them up. They don't work through them. Let's work through them. Romans 5 verse 2 says, "By whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." There is the strength of those trees. That wind makes those trees strong. So does tribulation in our lives makes us work with patience, experience, and ultimate hope. So Anna have gone through a lot of things, but there she was. Through all these difficulties, she had reserved. This is my point number two. Point number two is she had reserved her life for the service of the kingdom. How can we know that? It says, which departed not from the temple. Now, I don't know what job did a prophetess have at the temple. I don't know. Was it a specific job that she had? Does it mean that, simply mean that whenever they had a Bible conference, she was there? Whenever they had revival meetings, she was there? I don't know. But the Bible says departed not from the temple. And that gives me an idea of faithfulness. Whenever Paul was telling Timothy how to deal with the widows in the church, so you need to help them out. But they need to be widows indeed. And he's also said, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. And he keeps on, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. And this is a verse I like. Well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work, then said, help him. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 16. I know we're learning of Anna, that she departed not from the temple. But here's a story, not a widow anymore, but a different brother in the church. 1 Corinthians 16. Sometimes we go through the New Testament and there's heroes of faith just kind of hidden all in here. Not much is said about this person. But here in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. Thought I was at the right spot. Verse 15, he says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. Imagine this is even in parentheses. That is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas. In Fortunatus and Archaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Can you imagine? Paul had people that helped him. And here was this Stephanas. He said they have addicted themselves. Now, do you have any addictions? What are you addicted to? We always think of addiction as something negative. Well, rightfully so. Even the dictionary says that. Listen to what the dictionary says. It's a strong and harmful need to regularly have something, such as a drug. Or to do something, such as gamble. They are addicted. They are addicted to this. But the dictionary thankfully had another definition for it. It said like this, is an unusually great interest in something or a need to do or have something. It's an unusually great interest in something or a need to do or have something. Now, think about that. These people were addicted. They have an addiction. They had a good one. They needed to do something. They needed to be found faithful. They needed to be doing something profitable. If there was anything that was lacking on their part, they supplied it. They were always in constant, what do we need here? What can we do? Now let's bring this home here. Are you a good example to the young people? We as older ones, we can show the younger ones that kingdom work is exciting. We love to preach to the young people. We love to tell them that they need to dedicate their lives to the kingdom work. And rightfully so. But what example are we giving? What is our example to them? Whenever is your time to have devotions at jail? Whenever is your time to have a topic at church? What do we hear? What do young people hear? What do our children hear? Do they hear a lot of complaining? What do the children hear whenever it's your turn to have school devotions? Or what do they hear whenever it's your turn to set the tables for the fellowship meal and to clean up? What do they hear when the preacher needs a place to stay? What do they hear whenever the deacon comes up with a meal schedule for the family that is going through difficulties or has just had a baby? What do they hear when the deacon announces that the church-wide offering is coming? What is coming out of our lives? What kind of addiction do I have? Do I feel like, wow, this is another opportunity? And some of these things, you know, I'm preaching to myself. Don't think I was just so excited this morning to share the word of God with you. Uh-huh. This is a privilege. But sometimes we're dragging our feet to do the kingdom work. And we show our young people, we show our children that the kingdom work is just as bad as cleaning the chicken barns. Maybe just a little notch above it, but very close. Wow. Do you remember when Brother Donnie was here at Easter meetings and he had two jars here? I stole that illustration, took it to Tyrone with me. I had to stop in Maryland, got some dry ice, and I ordered some of that gel that he had. And it was a great illustration. I still love it. Maybe one day we can do it again, right? And when we pour that water into the jar that had that gel stuff, it gels up right quick. And you turn it upside down and nothing comes out. But the other one, you have the dry ice in there, you pour water and it's just bubbling out. Just bubbling. What do you think Anna was? Anna could have been that person with the gel inside. She could have been a bitter lady. And many times we go and do work for other people. And we find older people that are just as bitter as they can be. And we just ready to get out of there. Because, man, these people are just grumpy. We can't do anything right. The husband is the nastiest person that they have ever seen. The wife is just unbelievable. It's just, Anna could have been one of them. But she had found a sweet communion with her Heavenly Father. You know what happens whenever we work through our difficulties in life and we allow God to break us? You know what happens? Then God can dwell in us. God says He inhabits eternity. And we can't even understand who God really is. Inhabit eternity. That's His habitation. And we think of God being such a great and mighty God, and rightfully so. But you know what the verse says also? He dwells in the heart of the contrite one. Whenever we are broken, whenever we are humble, out of humble spirit, He says He dwells in them. That's where His habitation is. Sometimes we think we deserve better. Jesus spoke about that. How do we need to serve? He told a little story. He says, if a man goes into the field and comes back home and he tells his servant, do you think he tells his servant, he said, to sit down and eat first and then you serve me? He said, I don't think so. I think he's going to tell him to serve me first, and then you can eat yourself, or eat, whatever. You know what I'm saying. And you know what he says? So likewise, ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are, what? Unprofitable servants. We have done which was our duty to do. Can we apply this today? This is our duty. Now don't do it dragging your feet. We need to teach our children the kingdom service, kingdom work is exciting. If you remember the sermon I preached about this, reserving your life for kingdom service, there's a high calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a noble calling. This is not just cleaning out chicken barns. Be faithful. Wherever God has called you, sometimes we struggle with envy. We think, I wish I could just be the Sunday school teacher. I wish I could be the superintendent. I wish I could teach school. I wish I could do this. I wish I could be a missionary. And on we go. And 1 Corinthians tells us, 1 Corinthians 12, it tells us very plainly that there's fingers, there's toes, there's feet, there's hands, there's eyes, there's ears. And they all have functions. And we need to work for the benefit of the body. And we need to be faithful wherever God has called us. Do you remember the story Brother Dennis Martin told us of that faithful man that rang the church bells somewhere in Quebec, Canada? You remember how long, how many years he rang the bells Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, faithfully for 52 years. Now I can tell you he wasn't a Mennonite that travels a lot. He was there every Sunday ringing the bells. Can you imagine? Now that we're going to laugh about that, but wherever you are, be faithful. It's so refreshing to see and talk to older people that have gone through difficulties in life and they have dedicated their lives for the service of the kingdom. To me, it's encouraging. It just recharges my batteries to see older people, old and faithful. Number three. What else can we learn from the life of Anna? Is that it says here, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. So number three, she fasted and prayed a lot. That's what I put down. Maybe she fasted twice a week like the Pharisees did. I don't know. It just said that she served God with fastings and prayers. Sometimes, do you feel like you can't do much in the kingdom? That was kind of maybe not a new thought, but whenever I've received this assignment, the brother that gave me this assignment said, you know, whenever some older people are in the church and they feel like they're kind of useless, they just kind of, he didn't say this, but that's kind of how I took it, that, you know, they feel like a bump on the log, what I took it, you know. Do you feel that way sometimes? You don't have to be old to feel that way. I remember sometimes I feel that way. But you feel like you can't do much in the kingdom? Think about Moses on the top of the hill with his hands lifted up and Aaron and Ur holding his hands up. We need powerful prayer warriors. Can Papa Sim count on prayers as he goes to Oregon for revivals next week, next month? Do we pray for each other often? Or are you like me? I pray, try to start praying for everybody where I can't sleep. That's a good hobby to have. If you can't sleep, well, start praying for everybody. You soon go to sleep. But do you wait? Do you wait till you can't sleep? Now, you see my weaknesses now. How many of us have prayed for Brother Doug that God given divine wisdom on how to manage the church's money? Can Papa Jay count on our prayers as he continues to work through one of the toughest years that he ever had? Can Brother Darrell count on your prayers as he prepares for his last sermon of the year at the end of this month? Can I count on your prayers for next month as I go to Bible school and try to teach the young people there of kingdom work? 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We didn't even touch anything about fasting. But sometimes I feel like there's something in fasting that we need to learn. It's a very good experience. It's a tremendous encouraging. And you don't have to be so technical about it. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, maybe someday I will. It doesn't take, what should I say, a lot of technical things to just skip a meal and pray instead. Number four, we're going to run a little quickly here, the last couple points here. One thing I did notice about Anna, it is that she spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to draw a couple points out of this phrase, but the first one I would like to draw is that she studied the scriptures. They look for redemption. Where did they learn that there was redemption coming? I'm going to assume that she was part of a Bible study group that were studying about the coming of Messiah. Anna knew Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. She knew this is the what she had studied. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I guarantee you, Anna was out there meditating upon these verses and say, unto us a child is born. He's going to come as a child. Someday there's going to be a man that will be born like this. And that is the mighty God. And I want that. And I want to see that government. And I want to see that kingdom. I guarantee she was looking forward to this. And whenever she saw the baby Jesus, as she came at that moment, he says, and she praised God. She somehow or another, she probably the Spirit indicated or helped her see that this was the fulfillment. This was the child that was going to be born. And she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. That brings me to the next point. Well, let me make sure we know the point I was going to make. She studied the Holy Scriptures. Well, that was a good thing for her to do, right? Well, what about us? What kind of hunger do I have? Where is my hunger going? Cell phone? Is that what? Yeah, this is real. What does the pages of the Holy Scripture see more of my face, or does my phone see more of my face? I think my phone does. We need to study the Holy Scriptures. And that's what I like, to take challenges, like going to Bible school. It's a very sacrifice for me to go. But I say, if I don't go, I don't get to study. I get so busy. I get wrapped up with things. And so, I don't know. I know not everybody can go, but it is a blessing to go and study the Holy Scriptures. Develop a hunger for the Word. Develop it. Number five, she was anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. This was kind of, I indicated that. She looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And she said that she went and spoke to the people. She was anticipating. Are you anticipating the coming, second coming of Christ? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Anticipating that return of the Lord. Number 6. You know what happened? She recognized Jesus. How come she recognized him and most religious people did not? I think she lived for him. She was busy in kingdom service. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His son cleanseth us from all sin. She didn't even have this piece of scripture that we have, but she was busy and she was able to recognize Jesus. And the last one, she went to tell others and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Mark 5, we have the story of that man that was possessed with the devils, legion, because there were many in him. And whenever Jesus commanded that legion to get out, and they went to the swine, you remember the story, all those pigs running in madness. That was a sight to see. Those people were terrified. The people that saw that, they filled their pocketbooks very deeply. They had tremendous financial loss. But this man was cleansed. And you know what happened? When Jesus came into the ship, he that he had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and he wasn't hard to speak. He said, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And no man did marvel. In conclusion, do you want to be found old and faithful when Jesus returns? Thing we need to learn from Anna. To be faithful to the end means to be faithful now. If I would have bought this hammer 13 years ago and I would have put it in my closet, you know what? It would still be new. It would still be hard. It would still be old. But it wouldn't be faithful. It would have been just a monument I had out there on the wall, in the closet, or whatever. But that hammer works every day, almost. And that's what we need to do. If you want to be found faithful, guess what? Be faithful today. That's pretty simple. Matthew 25 verse 21 says, I want to hear these words. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. If I get to hear those words, it will be because of his grace and his mercy. May God bless each one as we continue to work in his kingdom and being busy every day.